690-690. Once we mark that, let's turn to number 385. 385. No tears in heaven, no sorrows given, all will be glory in that land. There'll be no sadness, all will be gladness, when we shall join that happy band. No tears in heaven, no tears, no tears up there, sorrow and pain will all have flown. No tears, no tears up there, no tears in heaven will be known. Glory is waiting, waiting up yonder, where we shall spend an endless day.
People here this morning, I know that y'all would like to sing along with me a good song and a happy song after all the rain we faced. What about the hippo song? In the beginning, God made the sea and the forest filled with trees, made the mountains up so high, and at the top he placed the sky. Fingerprints are everywhere just to show how much he cared. In the middle he had some fun, and he made a hippo that weighs a ton. Hip, 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 hippopotamus, hip, hip, hooray, God made all of us. Hip, 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 hippopotamus, hip, hip, hooray, God made all of us. It's a good song to sing anytime, but for sure after a big rain like we've had and everything, to think about the place of God. He's the one who set it up, fixed it up for us. And what a good time. Good to have you all with us today. When we think about God in the pages of the Bible, this topic today is a topic about singing. Because God wishes us to be people who sing. In the Old Testament of the Bible, there are very specific teachings that the Lord has given. And as a result of that, he wanted people to follow his will in the way that he has so authorized. Nadab and Abihu are two men who were sons of Aaron. Aaron, a brother to Moses and a good leader of the spiritual cause of the people at that day and time. But his two sons, Nadab and Abihu, brought a strange fire to offer unto the Lord, which the Lord commanded them not. There in Leviticus chapter 10, verses 1 through 3, you read that. You'll see that he said there in that regard, it was one that he did not command. The commands of God, as we read in earlier times, was in reference to a place where they would go toward the tabernacle and the place of fire to be drawn from that to be used. To you and me, maybe we'd say fire is fire, although we study about that particular matter in science these days, we know that not all fires are the same and not all heat is the same from the fire. But anyway, they used strange fire, and it rose out of that pit of their sacrifice and consumed them. That's not the last time that they're mentioned in the pages of the Bible. They're mentioned at least two other times in regard to Nadab and Abihu and how that they disappointed God and disappointed themselves in the way that they behaved. They chose a strange fire which the Lord commanded them not. In Leviticus chapter 13, information is given about skin diseases. And the skin diseases were to be people who walked around in the way that they were doing in their travels. Somehow or another, they contracted those diseases that would be close to the type of thing we would today call leprosy. It would be whiting the skin. It would be whiting to the point that it would white the hair of the skin. And they were to come to the priest and show themselves there. They were to make an assessment of that matter. If they were so far gone, they would not be put into a quarantine area. But if they were not, they were placed away from others. And the instruction was to be regarding the way that they cleansed and washed their hands and their arms and their bodies in order to free themselves from that infectious disease. The specific teachings of God were important. In the book of Amos, there's notation regarding David and how that he sang and used his hymns and used the singing that he did. There's a question mark in regard to this, whether God authorized that to be done. But nevertheless, it was something that he emphasized a great deal of in Psalm 150 when he said, with the various trumpets, with the psalm tree, with the various harps, there is a use of this to praise God for the melodies and sound that we have. In the New Testament of the Bible, however, we do not have a single reference to that type of praise for God. Go with me to the book of Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19, where he writes, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. The Lord Jesus had already talked about how important it was to worship God in spirit and in truth. And in John chapter 4, verse 23, he says, the Father in heaven seeks true worshipers to worship him in spirit and in truth, for God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. If our singing gets no higher than the roof because we find ourselves just singing for melody's sake, we're not worshiping God. We'll find ourselves just saying the words and harmonizing with the thought and harmonizing. And harmony is a beautiful thing. It's a great thing for us. It's a great thing in any generation of time. There are certain songs and certain ways in which it's done. But if that's all that is to singing, is just to call the words and call it in melody and harmony, it's not the worship of God. We're to worship him in spirit and in truth. We're to find ourselves repenting of sins that we have in life. And as a result of that repentance and commanding of that, we turn away from just looking for the sound and just looking for the words, just looking for this particular thing of the outward man. And we look to the inward man. And we thank God for listening to our prayers within our hearts for the songs that are sung, and prayers in our heart for the prayers that are prayed. That's the way to worship God in spirit and in truth. When the early church had its beginning in time and teaching, the church at Corinth had wonderful powers to speak in languages they had never studied, and they were using it to the point that they began to make a game of it. There were those in that particular group, as you get over in 1 Corinthians chapters 13, 14, and 15, you read how important love was to be a part of their work and their labor, but how that they had made a game of it. They could say things in words that others couldn't interpret. And they would say things like, I bet that there's something that I can say that you can't interpret today. And on down the line, they went with that idea. Where is God involved in that matter? He tells them that there are those of the room of the unlearned. They have not really known any language but their own. And they come and visit your service. And he says, when you do these things this way, and you speak in languages that they've never studied, they don't know what you're saying, you may have built up yourself, but that's alone. That's all it is to it. You did not help them at all. And they will leave your service saying, these people, King James says, are mad. The word mad means insane. Not thinking. They'll leave your services. They'll be accusing you. Will they ever come back? Well, unless they want to see something that's insane once again, probably not. They'll say to one another, this service was expecting something. They were emphasizing something. They were telling us something was important by the motions and mannerisms and the raise of the voice and by the things that were being said. But they could not understand the words. In 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 15, the Apostle Paul writes to them and says, to use words easily understood. Calling upon them to recognize the fact that once they use those words, they can, in spirit and in truth, honor God. But they cannot if they just use those words, because they are better than the other one who couldn't interpret them. When we talk about that in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 15, we read in regard to their praise of God and the ways of worshiping God in spirit and in truth. As he says that they would sing and make melody in their heart to the Lord, as they did that in Ephesians 5 and 19, they praised God. They thanked him. It came from the inward person, the heart of the man, to praise God, the heart of the woman to praise God, to thank God for the various blessings that we have, to encourage one another by the songs that we sing as we talk about you and me and all. We talk about each other as we sing in melody one to another. As a result of that, so much is the way that we have sometimes a new song that is brought into the service. And we don't know that song. And some will complain that that song is a new song and I don't know that song and I can't sing that song. But we can listen. We can, within the inner man, enjoy. We can find ourselves singing that song as our brethren down there in Central America do, listening to songs that they haven't sung, asking of me to put some more songs on that have not been the common songs on the internet site so that they may learn some others. They have those that will write down the words of the song, write down the melody that they hear of the song. However, that melody can change from one culture to another time. I remember Brother Doss Jeffcoat and his son, Brother Jeffcoat. W.D. was quite a man at the time. He told me one time that he knew 13 different melodies for Amazing Grace. 13 different melodies. We commonly know the melody of Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound, Saved a Wretch Like Me. And we would think it odd if they led us in another melody of it. But we might think it odd, but would it disturb our worship of God? Would we find ourselves not thinking of the Lord above and praising Him with this song that's being sung? And encouraging one another by the words that are being used? Would we find ourselves enjoying, or would we find ourselves simply not singing at all today? They didn't sing that song that I knew another melody for at all. Is that the way we got to thinking about ourselves and our worship? Surely not. The concept is to us be people who worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. We're talking about people who sing to one another, speak to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. I'm fearful of some congregations these days. Going into a secret room and choosing the better voiced people in the congregation. Then coming out and asking them to, would you please sit one at this seat, one at that seat, one at the other seat, some all together as though it were a choir. We were going to furnish you certain microphones. The wireless microphone system is a wonderful thing. I'm using one right now along the way here. But the idea was that we'll do this with you sitting here singing, and our singing will be some kind of melody and some kind of harmony and some kind of good. And people will leave saying, wonderful is the singing here today. But if we do that, my fear is that there'll be no worship at all. Because the emphasis will be on just the sound and just the harmony. And is that the point that's made in 1 Corinthians 14:15, singing with the Spirit and with the understanding also? Now these brethren at Corinth had problems along the way as it went along with other areas of worship. As they gathered together, preaching was done in words that people didn't understand. And praying was done in words that were not understood. And the singing was done in that. And when the conclusion is drawn by the Apostle Paul in regard to that matter, we should sing with the Spirit and with understanding also. We should pray with the Spirit and the understanding also. What understanding is there in just the melody being sung? I have no doubt what is beautiful. I have no doubt what is wonderful in the sound. But I wonder, is it really worship? Is it really doing that? And then when I think about some people along the way that I know, that maybe not are they very vocal without messing up some words and mannerisms, but they can sing. But you never see them in that group of special singers with a special microphone to sing. They'd never be asked. They couldn't sound the way that others do. But when the songs were sung and everybody was in harmony together in the congregation, blending their voices together, they would sing and speak up with the worst, best of them. But they would not be, because they're too loud in this group, in harmony with what's being done. Let me call upon brethren to think about that far and wide. Whoever may hear this by way of the internet system, there are people who listen. And think about the danger that's involved in that. Would it soon go to preaching that way in words that are not understood? Would it soon go to praying that way in words that are not understood? The brethren there at Corinth were corrected in that matter. And they're praised in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 for their repentance of that matter. They were praised for doing what was right. They were praised for being people who turned away from the practice they were doing and turning to a way that was right and righteous. In the singing that is enjoyed in the pages of the New Testament that pleases God, there's to be spirit and there's to be truth and there's to be understanding also. That's the way to do. That's the way to be. I trust that we do that here at Crockett along the way. We had a group of folks, sure enough, we had a Sunday morning crowd, you might say, here last Sunday night as we sang together. And it was good to do. And there were a lot of people along the way. And And Johnny Coleman got that thing together with them, and they got out here, and they were here singing, and it was good. And I didn't know Johnny, but I got to meet him last week, talk to him, visit with him a little bit, and enjoy his way. And I know his dad does a good, good job, too. He helps out with people. But do we worship the Lord as we sing, or do we just look for the sound to be enjoyable? I trust not. Thank you for your time for listening today and study with us. It matches up with what we read in everything about the specific authority of the Lord. In the Old Testament and the New Testament alike, there are specific things that he asks for people to do. And singing in Ephesians 5 and verse 19 is a unique kind of music. It's not just making music. We make music all the time. Making music is the overall idea of singing. I had somebody say, we all don't have music at the church down there and everything, and I don't come. And I said, whoa, wait a minute. Do we not have music? Every service that I've ever been to, really, we have music. We sing. Even on Wednesday nights, we sing. Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night too. We sing. And I trust make melody in our heart to the Lord, as well as encourage understanding with one another. May God bless you, everyone. Remember that there's a specific way in which we can find ourselves in salvation. Jesus said, unless you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins, in John 8:24. He said, unless you repent of your sins, turn away from your sins, you would perish in your sins, in Luke 13, verse 3. Our Lord Jesus gave a commitment that we ought to have, and a conditional statement made in Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16, when he told the disciples, you go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, and he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. The word and, you studied that in second, third grade. And, coordinating conjunction, joining things of equal rank or equal importance. Believe and be baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not will be condemned. If we don't believe, according to Hebrews 11:6, nothing else we do will please God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So we find ourselves with faith, repenting of sins, confessing our faith in Christ, as he said in Matthew 10:32. And being a person who does this in such a way that we find ourselves enjoying the time when we are immersed into Christ and raised to walk a new way of life. That's the concept of Romans 6. We were raised to walk a newness of life. Let's continue to do that. And if we find ourselves falling away from the Lord in sinful ways and words and mannerisms of life, let's repent as did Simon in Acts chapter 8 when he was told in verse 22 to repent and pray that the thought and intent of your heart may be forgiven you. We can do that even today. Restore our lives to the Lord's word and Lord's way. If you accept Jesus' invitation, please come and obey him today as we stand and as we sing.
Hear us, O Lord, why will you linger, wandering from the fold of God? Hear you not the invitation, oh, prepare to meet thy God.
Judgment, sad to face the judgment, unprepared to be thy God. If you turn the invitation to a spirit shall depart, then you'll see your sad condition unprepared.
said something regarding Miss Jane and her granddaughter, our granddaughter, Anna Brandon. She went down the other day with our daughter-in-law, Gina. Gina was asked to come down to do a speaking on the Ladies' Day program at North Brandon Church yesterday. And so Miss Jane went down there to take care of little Olivia. If she had any problem, little Olivia had a great time with her and enjoyed the thing with her. And Miss Jane did too. And they had a good time. They're coming back this afternoon, Lord willing, and safely. We hope that they will ride back home. She'll be here with us tonight. But that's a part of the work. As far as Roy's service is concerned, it's going to be held tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock at Coleman Funeral Home there in Olive Branch. And so I'm sad about that. Of course, I wanted him to grow and be, and he did. He did as hard a work in our school as anybody's ever done to be ready to do full-time work. But he just physically could not do that as he went along. It showed up. And so that's all he could do. And he was good. People at Carstell loved him and enjoyed what he had to say. How he did. And time's up too. God bless y'all.
Turn to number 95. Number 95. Sing one verse of this song after this. We'll be led in prayer by Brother Jeff.
Earth holds no treasures but perish with using, however precious they be. Yet there's a country to which I am going, heaven holds all to me.
Trying to get him out of the night. You wouldn't be qualified.